Good morning, Hope Church. I do hope that you are well. My name's Mark, the pastor here of Hope Church, and it's great to welcome you to our online service. Wherever you may be, across the world, across London, we're so pleased that you can join us. Please do interact on the live feed. Do send in your questions and your prayer requests, and we would love to serve you in any way we can at this time. Today we are in our final part of our series, our four-part series, looking at peace. How do we have peace in these challenging times, this global pandemic, this time of lockdown? How can we have God's peace? The whole area of mental health and anxiety is a massive issue for all of us and will continue to be in the months and the years ahead. So we've been focusing on a passage in Scripture, a passage in Philippians chapter 4 that has been our base over the last 4 weeks. I'm going to read it to us one final time, Philippians 4 and verses 4 to 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is of excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Paul gives us four tools that we've been looking at. Four tools to give us peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, as verse 7 tells us. I want you to remember that each of these tools takes some work on our behalf. And the tools we looked at so far in week 1, we looked at how to celebrate and rejoice in the Lord always, verse 4. The second week, we looked how to ask God in prayer, not despair, but prayer. And last week, we looked in verse 6 at thankfulness and gratitude. How when our hearts are full of gratitude, there is no space for worry and anxiety. Now, I'm sure you will know this, but you didn't choose where you were born. You didn't even choose the day that you were born. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose your brothers and sisters. You didn't choose your crazy aunts and uncles. You don't choose the weather each and every day. You certainly didn't choose to be living in the midst of a global pandemic, coronavirus. You didn't choose to live in that. Many things in our life we have no choice over. But we can choose what we think about. You see, let me give you a helpful picture about our thought process. You see, you and I are like the air traffic controller of our mental airport. We occupy the tower and we direct the traffic around us. Thoughts circle like aeroplanes. And if one of them lands, we give it permission to land in our minds and in our thoughts. You and I can select our thought patterns. Proverbs 4 and 23 says this: be careful what you think about, because your thoughts run your life. Just very obvious illustration. If I want peace and happiness, if I want to enjoy a peaceful and a happy evening or a peaceful and a happy tomorrow, I want to think about my blessings. I want to pray. I want to memorize scripture. I want to sing songs and hymns of praise. I want to encourage those around me. If I do, I will experience peace and joy and happiness. But if instead I start sowing seeds of self-pity and assuming the worst in every situation and beating myself up about the past and regrets and things I wish I'd done differently, then I'm going to wallow in misery. Our thoughts have consequences. If we want healing from our anxiety and to battle the anxious thoughts that come and come and come, it requires healthy thinking. You see, there's Satan, and Satan is always messing with our minds. Satan fills our air above us with aeroplanes carrying anxiety and fear, and he wants them to land in your mind. You see, Satan only brings doom and gloom. The Bible says that Satan is a thief who steals and destroys. He's the father of lies. Satan will lead your thought pattern into a sunless place where there is no joy and no hope, where everything is exaggerated, where everything is overstated, and everything is irrational. No one loves me. No one likes me. It's all over for me. I might as well give up. Everyone is against me. I'll never get out of this situation. I'll never have another good day ahead of me. Satan is the master of deceit, but he is not the master of your mind. You have God on your side. So I want to look at the fourth tool that Paul talks about in verse 8, which is to meditate on good things. To meditate is what we think about. It's what we think about over and over and over again. I think about it like mental chewing gum. You know, chewing gum, you just chew it over and over and over in your mouth. The flavor fills your mouth. It's like what we meditate on is the thoughts that go over and over and over in our mind, and then it fills our minds. Good thoughts, bad thoughts, filled by what we meditate upon. And it tells us in verse 8, to meditate on what is honourable, what is true, what is just, what is lovely, what is commendable, and what is excellent. I love in the New Living Translation, verse 8, it says this in the New Living Translation, fix your thoughts on what is true, on what is honourable, and what is just. And the translation of the Greek word there is logizomai, which basically is from the root of the English word logic. You see, Paul's point is very simple here. Anxiety is best faced with a clear head and logical thinking. One of the biggest tools you have in the fight against anxiety is between your two ears. It's your brain. It's logic. Let me give you an example. You get a phone call. A phone call comes, or you miss and you get a message, a voice message. And it's from the doctor. And it says the doctor has seen your test results and would like you to come in for a consultation. Anxiety immediately goes crazy. I'm in trouble. What if it's bad? You know, maybe I've got a family to care for. What if it's terminal? I'm going to die and probably it's going to be the worst possible thing. And who's going to raise the kids? And there's history of this thing in my family. And your mind and your thoughts go absolutely crazy. And before you've got to the doctors, you are sick with worry. You are sick with anxiety. But you know, there's a better way. Before you call your mum, before you call your spouse, before you call your best friend, call on the Lord and invite him to speak to the problem. You see, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says this, capture every thought and make it give up and obey to Christ. In other words, handcuff the culprit, handcuff the thoughts, and take it to Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. When that thought comes, when the doctor's message comes, and then the thought comes, oh, it's terminal, I'm going to die, it's going to be awful, what's going to happen? capture that thought and take it to Jesus. Capture that thought, take it to Jesus, and Jesus will say, no, don't let that be entertained in your mind and in your thoughts. Get away. Think logically and think clearly, and then lay claim to every biblical promise that you know. I'm a child of God. I'm dearly loved. I will face nothing alone because the Lord will never leave me or forsake me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me in Christ Jesus, so I don't need to fear anything that I come against. The Lord is sovereign and the Lord is in control. Remind yourself of truth. There's no space for lies. Focus on the truth and nothing more. Let me give you a personal example. When Hope Church was small, when it was a church plant, when there was only a small number of us gathering together, when someone used to come up to me in the early days and say, oh, Mark, I'd like a word. I'd like to speak to you. Or can we meet this week for a coffee? Can we have a chat? I'd love to catch up. I've got something to tell you. My mind used to go down into meltdown. Are that person going to leave? Is it they don't like me? Do they got a problem with the last preach that I preached? You know, do they find something about me offensive? Did they not like last week's coffee? I don't know. My head used to go crazy. I would have a fitful night's sleep before meeting up with them, and yet so often they just wanted some help. It was just an opportunity to gain some counsel, and they wanted me to pray for them. Or sometimes it was encouragement. Mark just wanted to meet up with you to encourage you in what you are doing. It's a challenging thing to do, to deal with our thoughts and to meditate on what is good. It's challenging. It's difficult. I struggle with it. I struggle with doing it day in and day out. I'll have my good days. I'll have my bad days. But the challenge is to do it logically and to do it clearly and to do it well. I will lasso and take captive the unhelpful, anxious thought and bring it to Jesus. And then I will fix my mind on truth. I will fix my mind on what is good and what is pleasant and what is just and what is honorable. Psalm 103 and verse 2 says this, O my soul, bless God and don't forget a single blessing. Keep reminding yourself of the blessings you have in Christ Jesus. I find it fascinating that in verse 8, Paul uses 8 different ways, 8 different words to tell us to think about what's good, to meditate on what's good. He uses 8 different ways, 8 different words. It's an ongoing battle to meditate on what is good. It's an ongoing battle to take charge of our thoughts. You know, it's a bit like the weather. The weather is ever changing, sunshine to clouds, to rain, to wind. There are days in our minds when it's blue sky and sunshine. And there are days when it's cloudy, when it's dark clouds, when it's raining misery and anxiety. Those clouds will come. The challenge for us when those clouds come is to battle against them with praise, with prayer, with thankfulness, and meditating, thinking about what is good and just and honorable. If you do that, the clouds will lift, the clouds will part, and the peace of God will rain down on your mind. Your circumstances may not always change, but your mind can enjoy the peace of God. Now, if we're honest, there'll be some days when we will say, Mark, it sounds good. I get it scripturally, but it's impossible. How on earth do I do this? I try to think about what is good and just and honorable, but these other thoughts just come into my mind. My mind is all over the place. There's these aeroplanes circling around, wanting to land. I've got struggles. I've got weak points. I'm strong in some areas. I'm weak in others. Well, let me give you a simpler way to sum up what Paul is talking about, a way for us to live this out. And that is to say that we are to cling to Christ. We are to abide in him. Think about it like this. Is not Jesus just and pure and lovely and honourable and everything in verse 8? And so Jesus' message to you and to I in the famous verses in John 15, which we're going to read, his message to us is abide in me. Cling to me and you will find peace. Let's read John 15 and verse 4 to 10. This is Jesus talking. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's a wonderful passage. And it's very clear the imagery that Jesus is giving us. God is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. He is the trunk. He is the thick root. And we are the branches. And if we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. We will bear the fruits of the Spirit, as it talks about in Galatians 5, verse 22. Peace, patience, joy, self-control. And you see, the world is looking for Christians who abide in Christ. If you, as a Christian, abide in Christ, people will notice. And they will say, why have you got so much joy and peace and self-control in these challenging times? And it will give glory to God, because it is not you who are doing it, but it is Christ who lives in you. We all long for an anxiety-free life. And we try harder. And we sometimes beat ourselves up if we're not thinking about the right things or reading our Bibles for the right amount of time. But Jesus says the key to peace, the key to fruitfulness is faithfulness. It's faithfulness. It's day in and day out abiding in Christ Jesus. The secret of an anxiety-free life, of the peace of God that transcends all understanding. The secret is very simple. It's to abide in Christ. 10 times in those 7 verses, that word abide is used. Jesus is saying, come and live in me. Jesus invites us to make our home with him. Jesus says, look, make your permanent address Jesus Christ. Let your permanent address be the place, Jesus, where you have a refuge and a strength. Let the roof over you be the grace of God. Let the walls around you be the power and the strength of the Lord. You see, the duty of a branch is purely just to cling to the vine. The duty of a Christian is just to stay attached to Jesus Christ. Let me sum it up like this. everything. Peace, patience, joy, self-control. Everything in that list is a byproduct of focusing your life on Jesus. Everything is a byproduct of focusing your life on Jesus Christ. I love this very simple picture which sums up what I've been talking about. Imagine a father who has a four-year-old son. They're going to walk down a busy street. The father takes the child by the hand and says, "Hold on to me." The father doesn't say to the four-year-old, "Take your chances walking down the road." The father doesn't say to the child, "There's a map, work it out." He doesn't say, "Find your way, make some mistakes, find your way." No, he says, "Hold on to my hand." Our responsibility is to cling to Christ. It's what God says to you. Hold on to the one who would never let go. Stay connected to the vine. Cling to Jesus Christ. Let me conclude and sum up this series we've been doing from Philippians chapter 4. Christians battle anxiety. It's a reality of life. There'll be seasons when it's really bad. There'll be seasons where things are pretty good. It will come and it will go. Jesus himself faced anxiety. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was so anxious he sweated blood. But we're not called to stay anxious. There's a way out. There's a way through. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 8 is our roadmap to live a life of peace, to experience God's peace. Paul has given us these four tools. Number one, to celebrate and rejoice in God's goodness, to rejoice in his grace, to rejoice in his sovereignty, to not look at the problem, but to lift your eyes and rejoice in him. The second tool we're to do is to ask of God, to not be in despair, but to pray. Ask and it shall be given to you, Matthew 7, verse 7. Make specific prayers. Take the responsibility we have in Christ and use it and pray to our Heavenly Father. The third tool we looked at last week, which is thankfulness and gratitude. Focus on what you have. Not on the if-onlys, focus on what you have in Christ Jesus. And finally, meditate on what is good and just and honourable. You cannot control your circumstances, but you can control what you think about. Do you know what I'm not very good at? I'm not very good at leaving my concerns with God. Let me illustrate this. You know, imagine you've got a faulty TV or a faulty Hoover, and you take it to the repair shop. You can't fix it, you've got no clue. So you take it to the repair shop and you say to the guy, "Look, can I leave this with you and can you fix it?" And he's an expert in that field. He says, "No problem, leave it with me. This is how much it'll cost. I'll sort it out." But you don't leave it. You don't exit the shop. You stay and you watch. What's he going to do? Can he do it? Does he know what he's doing? You watch over him the whole time while he's doing his job. You even sleep there overnight because he's going to finish it in the morning, worried about what might or might not happen. And you see, that picture is what we are so often like when it comes to God. We are anxious about things. We are worried about things. We bring them to God, but then we can't let go. We bring them to him, but then we don't exit. We don't leave it to him. God would say to me, he would say to you, "You are not the ruler of the universe. Give your worries, give your anxieties to me and exit. Enjoy the peace of God that transcends all understanding and leave your anxieties and your worries with me." Meditate instead on what is good and what is honorable and what is just and what is lovely. You cannot control your circumstances, but you can control what you think. Let me pray. Lord, we're living in challenging times. Lord, many of us are anxious. We are facing anxiety on a daily basis. We are struggling with our thoughts. We are struggling in the thoughts that are circling above us. Lord, at this time, I pray that you would give each one of us strength. Lord, help us to have God's strength to take control of our thoughts, to lasso and deal with the unhelpful, wrong, negative thoughts once and for all and bring them to Jesus Christ. And instead, to fill our minds with what is true and what is good and what is lovely, to fill it with scripture, to fill it with truth, to fill it with encouragement. Let us, Lord, abide in you. My prayer for my brothers and sisters in Christ is that we would abide in you, that as branches we would stay connected to Jesus Christ, and then everything would flow from that. We would say to the Father, I will keep hold of your hand. Whatever life may throw at me, I will keep hold of your hand. Lord, help us to live this message out in the coming days and the coming weeks, in Jesus' name.